I'm in a pretty extraordinary farm. We're surrounded by coconut palms. There are about 30 ducks wandering around. There's a lime tree, a shade house, and some sea salt evaporation beds. Tony Lacey is the unlikely farmer here. His wife's job brought the couple and their four kids to the Cocos Islands 10 years ago. Tony has a background as a winemaker, which there's not a lot of call for on a tropical island. So he started looking around for other things to do with food, and that's when he discovered the abandoned farm. Tony started off by telling me how a tiny coral atoll in the middle of the Indian Ocean that only has 14 square kilometres of land in total came to have a farm at all.
So when the Cocos Malays voted to become part of Australia, Australian government obviously upgraded infrastructure on the island. So two schools, two clinics on both sides. And also they thought they'd engage a horticulturist for 2 years. And also invest in infrastructure to create a farm. Makes sense. They had 2,000 people back then. Having said that, there was no work for them, so it ended up dropping down to about 500, where it is today. So the horticulture was here for 1 or 2 years. Underground irrigation, big shed, cool room, hydroponics. There were bananas, pawpaws, limes, sapote, guavas, pineapples as well. But when he left, like everything, when the driver leaves, it just goes pear-shaped. So it just fell into disrepair. No one took it on. No one crazy enough took it on. So having a food science background, I looked at it and thought, wow, this is a bit of a jungle. The kids were hanging around my ankles, but I couldn't spend all day watching the waves come in. So with the kids, so I thought, wow, why don't we take on this project? So we took on the farm back about 5 years ago and slowly started developing a lot of different things, such as sea salt. It was inspired by a gentleman over at Home Island, one of the elders. He was evaporating sea salt by cooking the seawater in a 44-gallon drum. I said to him, mate, there's another way you can do it. Just use the sun, make a solar evaporation pan. So we got some seed funding and we developed a trial sea salt evaporation system using the sun and glass panels. And that worked really well. So well that we thought, well, we really need the farm now because we can grow herbs, tropical herbs, to blend with the sea salt. So that morphed into a little micro business, Cocos Island sea salt and herbs. So that was the first little project.
Things haven't always gone to plan. The farm has initiated a few experiments in agriculture that haven't exactly paid off, including the ducks, which now exist on a diet that includes fresh coconut.
I'll just see if I can move these ducks because they're a bit annoying for me, they are. Maybe they're cute for you, but...
He's just gone to get an axe to deal with those annoying ducks, but luckily it's just to split open a coconut for them to eat.
Anyway, so the ducks, there can't be too many ducks that eat coconut around the world, so... But these ones do, as you can see. Duck, duck, duck. Yeah, the ducks were a trial. We do a lot of different trials. They were like, okay, how can we'll do a 100 duck campaign. So we sold some of the bread and a percentage went to buy in produce for the ducks. Because the thing is, the key is about feeding them. And so we thought, well, why should we ship in frozen chickens from a farm out of Perth when we should have a source of meat here apart from fish? Oh, they're getting out, are they? No. But then we reached about 20 or 30 ducks, and then we realised we haven't got enough food for them. We'd have to buy in like $60 a bag feed from Perth. So it wasn't viable. So we're trying to keep the numbers around about 30, 40. And now I've got 30 or 40, I can't really kill any because I'm a bit of a soft.
Another experiment that didn't quite take off involved planting lemongrass at the farm.
So then we planted 10,000 lemongrass to make lemongrass tea. After I came back on a sailing trip to Africa from here, came back with all these ideas, went to Mauritius, wow, herbal tea, great. Over there, they blend some coconut essence with lemongrass. So I came back, so we'll do a whole herbal range. So we made lemongrass and lime tea, 100% lemongrass tea, lemongrass and coconut. I thought, great. So after 6 months, we released that, and then I realized, oh, hang on, people still love coffee. So we realised that wasn't going to be the export success that Cocos needed.
The copra and coconut oil industry ended in the 1980s, but the islands are chock full of the coconut palms, and the coconuts are free for anyone who wants to pick them up. They are essentially the island's only natural resource, but it took a while for Tony to come round to the idea of using the coconuts in the farm. While the coconuts might be free, getting anything off the islands is very expensive. It's said to be the most expensive shipping route in the world. And if you want to export anything, you have to either send it by shipping container, which takes about 6 weeks to get to Perth, or you can air freight something which costs about $10 a kilo.
Then we had an inquiry from a Japanese company that wanted only Australian coconut oil. So I've gone, right, Japan. And being the only commercial coconut X industry, there's the potential. So we inquired how many litres per year. That was exciting, but as we suspected, it was the cost of freight getting it off the island, therefore not viable for them. Therefore, we had to create a whole new range of products. We created the body moisturising products, a range of lip balms, a lot of body butters, and also a range of body scrubs. We were just about to move into a range of coconut oil-based soap, but we still had an issue in the back of my mind with weight getting it off the island.
At this point, you might be wondering why the farm continues at all. Well, it all comes down to creating jobs for locals. Unemployment among the local Cocos Malay community runs at about 20 to 30%. Coney currently employs 2 part-time staff, but if the farm business takes off, that could create many more jobs. And now he thinks he's found the product that could do just that.
And then someone said, well, hang on, Tony, there's a little family business north of Port Douglas and they're picking up coconuts with a wheelbarrow. And I thought, what are they doing? So I freeze-framed the video and I thought, of course, it's coconut chips. It's lightweight, vegan, organic. It's a health food snack for kids, adults. And I thought, right, girls, let's stop everything. Don't worry about the soap. Let's just focus on chips. So the girls focus on the production techniques. I then focused on the new label and a new branding for our coconut chips. So 6 months down the track, we've released them. We realised that, yeah, we should be able to utilise all these coconuts that fall into waste. So what we do, we harvest twice a week. We've got the young fellas that come out, take the trippy, and they head out and they collect coconuts on the side of the road.
Tony's hoping that if the chips take off and can be exported to the mainland, he will eventually be able to create 10 jobs and a viable business that his young staff members can eventually take over themselves.
So it's all about the coconut chips now, and hopefully that'll rejuvenate the whole Cocos Islands coconut industry and create a whole new industry for Australia. We're hoping. We live in hope. That's all we do, actually. We live in hope.